The following program is sponsored in part by friends and partners of Jensen Franklin Media Ministries.
What's your I must? You got one. It may be delayed. It may be hindered. It may be denied. But it is still intact, and you have one. Something on the inside that compels. Something on the inside that drives you. Something on the inside that is a mandate from God.
Together, we're inspiring people to live for Jesus. If you're looking for more in life, to live with purpose and peace, to make a difference for your family and those in need around the world, Jesus is the answer. And our mission is to simply point you to Him. You're watching Kingdom Connection with Jensen Franklin.
If you have your Bibles, I would like for you to open them with me as we go to the book of Luke chapter 2. I'm calling this sermon, What is Your I Must? What's your I must? What's your one thing you must do that you know God has laid on your heart to do? Now, so it was after 3 days, they found him, speaking of Jesus, at the age of 12, in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them. He's 12 years of age. It says this earlier in the passage. And he's sitting in the temple with the scholars, and they saw him and they were amazed. And he's in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions that the questions were so complex, deep, and well thought that they baffled the minds of the theologians of that day, the scholars, the rabbis. And all who heard him were astonished at a 12-year-old, at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said to him, I love this. She's ticked. She is ticked at her 12-year-old boy. Son, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have been seeking you anxiously. And she doesn't say it right here, but it says that he was lost from them for 3 days. He had been gone. And he said to them, why did you seek me? Ooh, he's on dangerous grounds. Boy. Did you not know that I must be about my father's business? And they did not understand the statement which he spoke. What's your I must? Jesus, at the age of 12, had his parents terribly upset, which brings me great joy to know that even the parents of Jesus, when their child was turning a teenager, was already driving them crazy. We're not that far. He truly was a human. And Jesus, in this text, said, I must, Mom, Dad, I must be about my father's business. We're good at taking care of our business. But he said, I must be about my father's business. If you'll ever learn this secret, if you'll be about and the father's business and put him first, God will always take care of your business. I must be about my father's business. If you spend time with God, he knows who he is and he knows who he created you to be. And the first thing that happens is you get an I am from God. And the I am establishes your identity. But then there's something that goes equally with that God can give you. It's called an I must. And an I must establishes your purpose. I am, therefore, I must do this. I know who I am. I've got my identity from God. I know that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And when I'm weak, His grace is sufficient for me. I am what I am by the grace of God. And then secondly, I must, because God has dropped a must into my spirit. When you have an I must from God, and every one of you, if you will begin to come to a church like this on a regular basis and get in the Bible and start reading it for yourself, God will clearly make to you known your I must, who you are and what you must do before you leave this planet. In Numbers 22 and 38, Balaam said, "The word of God was put in my mouth that I must speak." Job had three friends and they talked a lot. And then finally in Job 32, he said, "I must open my lips and answer." The power of an I must will help you decide when you need to talk, when you have to speak up. Jeremiah said, "It's like a fire shut up in my bones, and I wanted to quit, but my I must wouldn't let me quit. I had to speak up, and I had to say something, and I couldn't hold back." That's what's wrong with your preacher when I get on issues that are controversial. I read the Bible, and when I get them in me, I must get up and preach what God tells me to do. Jesus prayed until his sweat became drops of blood. Why? Because there's a difference between I want to and I must. Jesus was wrestling in the garden with what he wanted to do with his life versus what he knew the Father said you must do with your life. And he said, "If it's possible, I don't want to go this way. I want to go that way." But he wrestled with it in prayer until his I must won. Jesus understood, "I'm not going to sacrifice my I must for an I won't." What's your I must? You got one. It may be delayed. It may be hindered. It may be denied, but it is still intact, and you have one. Something on the inside that compels. Something on the inside that drives you. Something on the inside that is a mandate from God. When God called me to preach, it was an I must. That it's really when he gave me that one of the first sermons I ever preached was this sermon, because I could not shake it. I could not get away from it. I would read this Bible 40 chapters a day. I don't do that anymore. I need to start it again. But I used to read 40 chapters a day, and I would read it, and I would wet it with tears. Because my I must, I left my friends. I used to have friends and all that. For that season of my life, my I must just said, separate from all of that. And I got a plan for your life, but you it's not guaranteed. You got to seek me. I know who you are. And I want to show you your identity, and I want to give you an I must. I am, therefore I must. It's worth it. It's worth it to fast and pray. And that's when I started fasting. I started going on fast. The first one I ever went on, I was a crazy guy. I went on a 21-day fast, and I'd never fasted. No food for 21 days. What would compel you to do that? I must. Something in my heart said, I didn't know where it would lead me. I didn't know what God would do, but something in me said, I must fulfill this call. I don't even know how to preach. I'm terrified, but I must. And I must will overcome your fear. Hallelujah. And I must doesn't care. There's no such thing. Oh, I feel like preaching. There's no such thing as I don't have enough money if you have an I must. If you have an I must, the money will line up. If you have an I must, the doors will open. If you have an I must and you seek God, nothing can stop an I must. Clap your hands and shout just a minute. What special treasure, what special talent do you have on the inside? Are you being driven? Are you being moved by an I must? Or are you just about your own business and you're ignoring the Father's business? I must is a powerful thing. It drives you like an obsession. I want to see a whole new generation of young people get obsessed with doing God's will. And I must will drive you. It'll cause you to cast off restraint. It'll cause you to override your timidity and your insecurity. When you have an I must, I tried to keep my little gift quiet. I tried, but one time I remember in my senior year, we had to get up and give a little talk in our own speech and write it. And I was just a flower, wallpaper flower. I was very shy, but when they gave me the chance, I got up and I began to speak, and I didn't know it then, but the preacher thing was working in me, and I even began to move it from what I thought it would go into. Y'all know how I do. I just started flowing, and I started sharing the gospel without sharing the gospel, but I said something happened to me, blah, blah, blah. And before I knew it, I looked around the little classroom, and little people were wiping their eyes. That's an I must. It's compelling. When you have an I must, if somebody hurts you, you don't quit. If somebody talks about you, you don't stop. If somebody's offended at you, you just keep going. If they put your name in the newspaper, you get up and walk on and do what God told you to do. I must will not take no for an answer. Hallelujah. I'm almost done, but shout amen, somebody. Paul understood the power of an I must when he said in 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 16, woe is me, cursed is me. Woe means curse. If I preach not the gospel of Jesus Christ. What is your I must? What were you born for? What above all others is the one thing you must do? Help the poor. Build a ministry, go to the nations, see your family saved, set captives free. In Acts 27, even death had to give way to an I must. Paul was in a Category 5 hurricane. You know it's a real hurricane when they give it a name. And they gave it a name and everything. And the crew had given up. They had thrown everything overboard, and they said, we're dead. They had not seen the sun shine for 14 days, and they were lost at sea. And Paul said, everybody calm down. An angel appeared to me and said, you must testify for Christ in Rome. Therefore, if I must, the storm can't kill me till God's through with me. I must get that degree. I must honor God. I must break poverty off my family. I must see God's will be done in my life. It's not I should, I might. It's an I must. Don't let anybody define who you are, and don't let anybody define your I must. But God. Let me give you another one real quick. Here's a big I must. John 3 and 5. You must be born again. This is not a game. You could be gone. There's but a step between you and death. And you must be born again. Not religious. You must be born again. You must know Him. You must repent of your sins and say, change me. Wash me. Cleanse me. Take over my life. Show me my identity. I want a new identity. I don't like the old me. I must be born again. Quit putting it off. We could see World War III. Look at what's going on in Iran. Look at what's going on. My God, look at Russia. Here we are. Here's Israel again, right in the headlines, just like the Bible predicts in Ezekiel 36, 37, 38. And before That's not the battle of Armageddon. There's that battle of Megiddo. That's not the battle of Armageddon I'm talking about. The Bible predicts there will be a worldwide war. You must be born again. Everything's so unstable right now, isn't it? It feels crazy. I've been living a long time. I'm just telling you, something's different. Thank God is saying to people, I'm doing everything I can do to get your attention. You keep putting off this eternal decision. Let me give you one more last I must. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, it says this, for we must all stand before Christ to be judged. This scripture haunts me. We will each receive whatever we deserve for the good or the evil we have done in this earthly body. We must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. That day is coming. And everything will be exposed. That's why we fast 21 days every year and pray. And that's why we give. And that's why we bless this and do that. Because that thing right there haunts me. We must all. Nobody's going to stand there with you. Mama and Daddy, it'll be you. And God. Do you know that the book of Revelation starts in the first verse of Revelation 1:1? The angel said, I'm here to tell you things that must come to pass. And it ends in the last chapter with the angel comes and says, I'm here to tell you what must shortly come to pass. It starts with a must. It ends with a must. I guess what I'm trying to say is, the book of Revelation is a book that absolutely says not he might, not he, we wish he would. He must come back again. He must. And he said it must happen shortly. That means this is an urgency to it. I must stand before the judgment seat of Christ. I must be born again. When you stand before the Lord, you know what? The Bible said in another place that the book will be open and whoever's name is not written in the Lamb's book of life will be cast out of the throne room into the lake of fire. Is your name in that book? I must have my name, Jensen Franklin, in that book. I must have my wife's name in that book. Sharice Franklin must be in that book. Courtney and Carissa and Caroline and Connor and Drake and Tyler and Aaron and my grandbabies, Amelia and Elliot, and man, this gets long, doesn't it? Elliot and Vivian and Jamie. And Luca and Leo. That's my I must. And when I look at you, I want to throw my arms around every one of you and say, because you're sitting under me, I'm going to stand before the judgment throne of God if I don't tell you the truth. It's the scary stuff. He's a consuming fire. I don't want any of you to perish. I don't want any of you to be cast into outer darkness. You must be born again. You must stand before the throne of God. Every one of you need to get a burden for souls. I wish every one of us would take on as an I must win one soul before 2024 goes out. I must personally, I must win one person so that when I stand before that judgment throne, I will not be ashamed. Just stand to your feet all over this room. every head bowed, every eye closed. Are you born again? Do you know your sins are forgiven? Do you have Christ living in you, the hope of glory? Pray for me, Pastor Jensen. I need that assurance. Pray for me. If that's you, raise your hand as high as you can get it. If you want to know you're born again, I want to see your hand. More importantly, God will see every hand that's raised in this holy, holy moment. There's so many hands. Amazing. Raise them high and unashamed. Unashamed. Out loud, everybody in this room and everybody at every campus, pray right now, Lord Jesus, I mean this. I want you to take over my life. I surrender all to you. I give you my life. I want to know who I am, who you intended me to be. I want to be the person that you want me to be. And then I want and I must. I must serve you. I must obey you. I must love you with all of my heart. And so come into my life. I invite you in right here. Write my name in blood in the book of life. You bought me with your blood, Jesus, and I receive you. I believe in you, and by faith, you're my Savior. I am, and I thank you that I must. In Jesus' name, amen.
Welcome to the family of God. Boy, I feel that. And we can't wait to hear from you. It means so much to us. If you need prayer today, we care. Go and pray. Write that number down and call that number or go online. There's so many amazing free devotionals that we would love to send you. As you have probably been seeing, Israel is under attack like never before. Their enemies in Iran, Hezbollah, and Hamas. It's coming from every direction. Thousands of rockets, not hundreds, thousands of rockets are raining down on the nation of Israel. And that's why we're building a hospital right now. That's why we're reaching out. And in the north, right where all the action is, God told us 2 years ago to get involved in that region and start building a hospital and start supporting and building shelters and to go to the border in Gaza Strip and do what I tell you to do. In northern Israel, our emergency center is being built, and in the south, we're keeping families safe through our newest initiative, Light Over Darkness. Don't you like that? Everybody watching, say Light Over Darkness. It's a comprehensive 3-year plan that I believe God has called us to stand with our Jewish brothers and sisters to ensure them that we have their back and the Christians in America will not abandon them. Phase one of this initiative is all about safety. When you bless what God loves, there is a blessing that will come on you, your family, and your business. I have experienced it. It is the truth. You can be a part of that blessing today. Together, be light over darkness. Watch this and see how you can be involved.
On October 7, Israel was attacked by the dark forces of Hamas. It was the worst massacre the Jewish people experienced since the Holocaust. The Eshkol region in southern Israel was attacked directly. This is where Jensen Franklin Media Ministries, in partnership with the Jewish National Fund, have been working the last 5 years to build fortified schools, bomb shelters, and other life-saving projects. Thankfully, these projects did save many lives that day. And now we stand at a pivotal moment, poised to provide a lifeline for the people of Eshkol, who continue to be attacked by terrorists every day. Jensen Franklin Media Ministries recently committed the largest amount of funding ever towards the initiative, From Darkness to Light, representing our unwavering dedication to not just help rebuild communities in Eshkol, but to mend hearts and restore what seemed irrevocably lost. We have a comprehensive plan that will be completed in 3 phases. Phase number 1 provides physical safety. That is why we are building civil defense centers and over 800 safe houses, making sure every family in the region has a safe room in case of terrorist attacks. When you give to a project like this, there is a promise for you found in Genesis 12:3. I will bless those who bless you, Israel. Together, we can demonstrate that faith combined with collective action can illuminate the darkest moments and forge a brighter, more hopeful future for the Eshkol community. Call or go online today. Welcome to Free Chapel, where everything we do is about inspiring people to live for Jesus. It all points to Him. No matter where you call home, one of our campuses is close by. Located in Gainesville, Braselton, Gwinnett, Alpharetta, Midtown Atlanta, Spartanburg, South Carolina, and Orange County, California. We strive to offer the same great experience at each of these locations. Kids enjoy vibrant services that keep them engaged while learning the Bible. Our youth is always having exciting events with relevant teaching. We have special services for young adults and Wisdom Club for our senior members. There truly is something for everyone. All of this is part of our mission to inspire people to live for Jesus. Head over to our app or website to find out more.
This program has been sponsored in part by friends and partners of Jensen Franklin Media Ministries. For more information about this message and other ministry resources, visit us online at jensenfranklin.tv.